This probably will sound basic, but time and time again, it's proven to be one of the most critical things to success in this profession, in its relationships. Everyone is your customer in TA. And by everyone, that means business stakeholders, your hiring managers, their leaders, HR, your staff in many regards are your customer. You are there to help them. You're not there to dictate to them. You're there to ensure that they can come up with great ideas on their own and go execute.
Hello and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with my friend, Ryan Alexander, VP of Global TA at Flowserve. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I've been a longtime fan, a longtime listener, and excited to have a turn in the seat.
Yeah, that's great. No, I'm excited for our conversation. We've known each other for a while, and so this will be a fun conversation. Let's just get started out like we always do. If you wouldn't mind kind of sharing an overview of your background. You've got a great background, lots of excellent organizations that you've been a part of and led TA at, and would love for you to share your background with the audience.
Sure, certainly. Early on in my career, and I always like to see like how I ended up in TA. Early on in my career, I was selling suits at a department store, a men's department store called Von Maur. You might recognize that being a Michigander. It's more of a Midwestern department store. And I was the top salesperson every week at 18 years old. And I definitely ticked off some of my colleagues that had been there for 20 years and they were very ingrained in selling suits. And here I was, this kind of new guy doing that. And I ended up going to a sales award ceremony where I met someone who did staffing sales. And I had always wanted to work in HR. I observed a person at the department store who had been doing HR, but they said I needed a degree. And I said, gee, you know what? I probably should get a degree. And meanwhile, I'll go work for the staffing company. So I worked at the staffing company and did that for about 5-6 years while I put myself through my bachelor's and master's. Then I wanted to have more of an experience in a corporate environment. So worked for another Michigan-focused company you might have heard of called Velasys. They back then did newspaper inserts, which was newspaper-type advertising, direct mail. And great opportunity to learn both talent acquisition and talent management. Obviously, some headwinds in that type of business, and saw it an opportunity to work in automotive, which is something that I found as attractive. Being in Metro Detroit, I feel like a lot of the heroes worked in automotive, at least back then. So the opportunity to work on site at one of the big three was attractive. So I was on site at Fiat Chrysler Automotive through an RPO. Named ADP. Back then it was called The Right Thing. Now it's acquired by ADP, and helped run salaried talent acquisition at Fiat Chrysler Automotive. It's now called Stellantis. It's a great experience there. Got to go out on the validation track a couple times and drive some cars at perhaps excessive speeds. Really enjoyed that. And then And I'll progress my career, became a head of global talent acquisition at Tenneco, a global automotive supplier. Right now, they're about $15-16 billion in revenue. Was a part of an acquisition of Federal Mogul, a very large automotive supplier, and was there right when two companies were merging. I worked for a great CHRO at that time named Brian Bokalik, who surprisingly is my current boss again. Really liked working for him. Then had subsequent roles at Honeywell. So at Honeywell, I relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina. Had been down in Charlotte for about 6 years in a combination of a talent acquisition and talent management role initially, later focused in just pure global talent acquisition and operations. And then TE Connectivity more recently. So TE Connectivity, about a $17 billion global industrial, doing connectors and global TA role there. Enjoyed that position, ended up having kids and needed a little bit more balance than what I was having. Did a very short stint at Cielo as a VP of solutions architecture for RPO solutions. So lots of good learning there. I've always been an RPO customer and user, and that was an opportunity to go design RPOs for other companies. So worked primarily with advanced manufacturing companies on a global basis and got very deep into pricing structure, people process technology, putting every little detail into Excel and ultimately creating things that were interesting enough that clients bought it. So great experience there. And then, like I alluded to earlier, Brian, my former leader, he has been one of the best leaders I've ever had in my career. He now is the chief HR officer at Flowserve, and it was an opportunity I just couldn't say no to. So I am super happy to be reunited with Brian and some other team members as well here at Flowserve. And I'm in the process of relocating from Charlotte to Texas right now. So
that's where I am. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Thanks for sharing your background. Impressive for sure. Let's chat a little bit about Flowserve for those in the audience who may not know a lot about it. Maybe if you wouldn't share a little bit about the business and size and scope, as well as your role, maybe number of hires, size of the team, some of those types of things as well.
Yeah. Flowserve, an interesting business. So Flowserve that is in the flow control business. And no one really thinks about it until it's described, but fluid is in everything, right? It could be in a cooling system. It could be in oil and gas. It could be in medical, food manufacturing, and any type of fluid that's moving. We control it somehow with valves, with pumps, with gaskets. And depending on the application, could be a pump that, you know, is massive and needs to be extremely reliable. Think of cooling a nuclear tower. It's super important that never fails. And the pump that we manufacture for a nuclear reactor could be very large and complex, $500K to $1 million product. And then think about medical or food service, the pump or the gaskets, the valve you could hold in your hand, and we might produce thousands of them. From a talent acquisition standpoint, because those products and lead times vary significantly, it makes for an interesting challenge. So we have 17, actually closer to 18,000 employees today across 52 countries. We have 350 sites in which those employees are located. So given our employee size, that's actually quite a dispersed geography. So you have some countries that make hundreds of hires every year, and then you have Angola that has three hires a year, and you somehow need to support those handful of hires in a way that the business needs. And of course, you can't have a full-time recruiter in Angola, so that's been an interesting challenge. Lead times are also an interesting challenge. When you're making 1,000 parts, you have fairly predictive recruiting needs. And then when you have one big project, like for that nuclear reactor that I mentioned, it's more project-based staffing. So it's a great variety. Business is doing extremely well. A lot of industrial started to have some headwinds during these tariff discussions that have been happening during the last couple months this year. Flowserve has been more resilient than most because of our global footprint. We don't do a lot of arbitrage. We have more of a local manufacturing for local clients. So that's been to our advantage and it keeps us busy. In total, we generally fill between 2,000 and 3,000 positions per year that would be FTEs, and then roughly that equivalent for contingent.
Okay. Great. How about as far as talent acquisition? I know part of your initiative, having been there for about 2 months now, has been looking at the delivery model and the structure and things like that. But roughly how many people are in your TA organization and how is it structured?
Yeah. So I think because Flowserve has gone through a couple different business cycles, we ended up with a structure today that was more just based out of past situations, and we're working through right now what is really the right long-term structure. Back during COVID, I think a lot of our hiring slowed down, like a lot of companies. And then when it came back full force and we needed a very scalable solution, so we essentially outsourced the vast majority of our hiring to an RPO provider. Today, they service approximately 90% of our FTE staffing. They have a team of approximately 70, and those 70 are global, located primarily in the key countries where we have higher volumes or more critical types of staffing. We do have an internal team as well today, a mix of executive recruiting, leadership, operations, a talent delivery leader that partners a lot with our RPO, as well as a branding leader. We also have a partnership with an MSP on the contingent side, and then a network of contingent agencies, preferred partners, et cetera. So mostly an outsourced model today.
Yeah, great. As far as any other initiatives that, you know, but the fact that you've only been there a short stint, a couple months now, you're still getting your strategy underneath you and things, but anything else that you'd like to share about some of that work as you've entered into the organization, assessed it, and the strategy that you're moving forward with in the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. The way that I try to break down strategy is first really listen to our business leaders. And that started with obviously the interview process. I also was doing some consulting work far before I considered myself a candidate. I was providing some recommendations. And I'd like to emphasize, everyone is just fantastic to work with. When I met the executive leadership team, I have this kind of silly train of thought. I shared it with my wife. I call it the barbecue factor. Would I invite these leaders to a barbecue at my house? And if the answer is yes, I want to work with them and I want to work for them. And if the answer is no, not. And it's like, I legitimately would invite like all of these leaders to a barbecue. Like they're all just great people and have been fantastic and very balanced. So I just want to preface that. And that's what makes it an excellent culture here at Flowserve, is that collaboration. And so as a part of that collaboration during my first month or so, I had 40 to 50 one-on-ones. It was extensive. And they were all booked for me. During my first week, I looked at my schedule and it was like, dang, I'm going every 30 minutes to a new one-on-one. And it's because everyone was super excited to share their thoughts on talent acquisition. And I did hear quite a few opportunities, right? Definitely some things that are going well and examples and projects and staff that are doing a great job. And then opportunities really would just be our ability to be more of a strategic partner. How can we be more proactive? How can we bring forward data and insights? And then the positives, I'd just say, was on our operational rigor. We definitely are process-oriented. We know how to hire in all of these 50 countries. So those were the positive. But it was really more on the strategic partnering piece that was an opportunity. So when I try to translate that feedback into a strategy, I then broke out talent acquisition into four key pillars. And those key pillars are talent delivery, executive search, operational excellence, and talent intelligence. And just expand upon those a little bit further. Talent delivery really looks at our model that we have with an RPO. Do we need to potentially look at having some type of geo level or tier type approach? And what I mean by that is we fill hundreds of positions here in Irving, Texas, in our corporate headquarters. That probably isn't going to have the same level of support as that Angola example. It just can't. So what are those tiers? We're starting to look at that now, starting to look at how do we have more consultative business partners? We're fairly rec driven today in talent delivery. So is there an opportunity to have a separate role, which we have approval for and we're moving forward with, called talent acquisition business partners? So they would be aligned by business unit. And they would chart out with their business unit leader, with their business unit HR partner, what are the key talent initiatives that they'll be doing across the year? And then what are those KPIs on a quarterly basis that they want to hit that show that those initiatives are driving the right output? So that's kind of talent delivery. Another good thing that we're looking at in talent delivery is what I call essential roles. So starting to look at 80-20, what are the 20% of roles that cause 80% of the noise? And we started to define that out as, are there certain roles that have huge financial implications if they go unfilled? Safety issues, could shut down a line or have a customer impact. So we broke out what are those role types and how do we treat those roles a little bit differently than the rest.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. No, I really like the structure on how you broke out your strategy there. And that's excellent. I appreciate you sharing that. One thing, when you talk about a little bit around talent intelligence, I always like to ask folks that, you know, around like, how do you measure performance or success in talent acquisition? So maybe how do you think about that internal to TA, or how does the organization at Flowserve think about that as far as what defines success for talent acquisition?
Yeah. And I think that's something that we're actively working on now. So you have your typical talent delivery indicators like service level agreements, KPIs, those types of metrics on a trending basis with targets. And I'm sure a lot of TA leaders have similar things. In executive search, we really look at not only speed, but performance in role, retention, new hire retention. We look at diversity, certainly, and in both executive as well as our non-executive types of roles. That's something that we're still focused on. Operational excellence. We have audits in place to see if processes that we've designed on a country-by-country basis are being adhered to. It's a trust but verify. And we like to proactively notice, hey, in France, are we still doing employment agreements as we anticipated? Or are we still working through works council types of discussions in Germany that we know need to exist? So we have different audits in place that help with that. From a talent intelligence standpoint in metrics, we're placing a lot more emphasis now on selection and assessment. Mm. So that's a big one. As far as metrics are concerned, that's still evolving. So I don't have a specific metric to share with you. We're actually hiring right now for a leader that will oversee that talent intelligence bucket. So it's a clear focus of ours. I wanted that dedicated leader role. And part of that role is to also look at internal talent sourcing. We look at how many internal candidates are presented on each role. We're looking at, does it make sense to say every indirect role at X level and above has at least two internal candidates considered? So that's something that we're looking at. We do have an unfortunate bias of going after external talent right now, especially for indirect staffing. And I think a lot of that is because we haven't really inventoried skills. We haven't updated all of our skill profiles and our systems. We use Workday, so that'll be an opportunity. And then our platforms, our business units, our regions, they're not sharing talent as well as they could. And it's not intentional. It's just the systems and the processes haven't really existed. And then lastly, within that talent intelligence bucket, workforce planning, that'll be another significant focus where we want to have some metrics.
Yeah, that's great. And that's a great segue into the next question, which would be like, as you look forward in the next year or so, what types of initiatives or key areas of focus are boiling up to your priorities at this point?
Yeah, we in HR as a whole, I'm a part of the HR leadership team here at Flowserve. We have breakthrough objectives. And one of the breakthrough objectives is strategic workforce planning. I'm the new guy here focusing on TA and TA transformation. And they say, hey, Ryan, you're also going to be responsible for one of our, they call it a super priority in HR, which is strategic workforce planning. It's related to talent acquisition, obviously, but it's, of course, different and has different connection points with the business. So strategic workforce planning, we actually, as an organization, tried going down this road about 7 to 8 years ago And unfortunately, it fizzled out. We had a internal team that oversaw workforce planning. We used some technology that tried to sew different bits and pieces of data together and have some predictive insights. But unfortunately, it wasn't used. And with some leadership changes, they just decided to discontinue it. However, our business said, hey, actually, HR, it's still really important. Can you please figure it out? So we're looking at how do we apply some lessons learned? I think, you know, what I'm focusing on now with the team is how do we make this more of a cross-functional project? I think it was a little bit more of an HR pet project before, but I said, what if we're doing this again? Let's have a project leader that actually comes from our sales and operations planning team. Let's have an analytics person sit in from operations. Certainly we'll have HRIS in the room and some other HR partners in the room, but we formed this team that's across our S&OP, our manufacturing operations and manufacturing analytics. And we're really looking at how do we convert bookings. So thinking back to those products, bookings from nuclear or med supply or whatever, and then say, okay, these bookings translate into these types of labor needs on a labor hours basis, on a positions and skill basis. We use SAP, IBP, which is a S&OP module in SAP. And how do we get that linked up? So we're in active discussions now with Workday and some others. And we're trying to look at a couple different approaches. There's a technology-based approach with Workday. And then knowing that technology, yeah, it takes time. There's implementation, there's cost, things like that. How do we have some quick wins in addition? So we're on a dual path journey right now with workforce planning.
No, that's great. Thanks for sharing all that. I really appreciate that. And yeah, a lot of value can be unlocked through that work. It's a difficult journey for sure that a lot of people are struggling with and trying to work through. And so appreciate you sharing some of that detail for the audience. That's really helpful. On the spirit of helpfulness, what's some advice that you would share for others in the space? This is the last question that I always like to ask. And so audience is usually made up of those in TA or interested in TA. So what's some advice that you might share for that audience?
Yeah, and this probably will sound basic, but time and time again, it's proven to be one of the most critical things to success in this profession and in its relationships. Everyone is your customer in TA. And by everyone, that means business stakeholders, your hiring managers, their leaders, HR, your staff in many regards are your customer. You are there to help them. You're not there to dictate to them. You're there to ensure that they can come up with great ideas on their own and go execute. Third parties, I treat as a customer. Sure, there's an accountability factor, but they need to want to work with you and want to make you successful, and it has to be a positive experience. That's my key learning. There's the carrot and the stick approach, and sometimes you have to pivot in between, but ultimately you want people, you know, that will run through that wall for you because they want you to succeed.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. I had somebody kind of frame that to me once. It was like, if you want to have good partners, you have to be a good partner. And so Right. How you think about relationships across all different kinds of stakeholder groups and thinking of all of them as your customers is a really good way to frame it. So I think that's excellent advice. Ryan, I really appreciate you joining me today on the podcast. I think you did an excellent job and appreciate you sharing all the detail that you did. I'm excited for what you're going to lead and deliver at Flowserve. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, Ryan.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.